You're listening to dialectradio.co.uk.
Well, you've heard about the banksters, the City of London banksters, and also particularly Royal Bank of Scotland. Royal Bank of Scotland were the employers of a certain chap called Tom Hayes, who's a few weeks ago went down for 14 years as a trader for fixing LIBOR. But of course, his managers knew just what he was doing. He was being headhunted from bank to bank as the greatest LIBOR fixer in the world. And so don't tell me that they weren't part of the conspiracy. Anyway, someone who's been a victim of the banks joins us now.
My name is Peter Oakes. I live in near Sandbach in Cheshire. Many years ago, I had the misfortune of a fallout with the local authority and my local police force. And since then, I have uncovered massive corruption within the United Kingdom. The courts, the court system, the insolvency service, local authorities, police forces are all totally corrupt. And this is all to do with money. If you are a whistleblower or somebody who stands up for his, stands his ground and complains when he's been wrong done by a local authority, they set about to destroy you. And when I say they, I mean the system, the establishment, whoever it is, I am not sure. But the object is to destroy you. And in the travels, I discovered that one of the means is to, bogusly bankrupt you. Because a bankrupt, you're finished and you're rendered penniless. The other thing is, if you write to official bodies, the DTI, the Home Office, a government minister, you just get frustration. You get ridiculous answers that have no bearing on the question you asked. If you write to a government minister, all the mail is intercepted and you get a reply from the Ministerial Correspondence Unit, which is usually a load of rubbish. This frustration is deliberately intended to drive you into an act where you do something stupid, something violent or a disturbance somewhere. This allows them then to have you sectioned under the Mental Health Act. I know of two individuals this has happened to. And it's something you have to go very careful of. The third method of destroying you is the vexatious litigant, section 42. If you try and take your case to the court, the judge will turn around and say, you are a vexatious litigant. You can no longer bring any action without you get the permission of a judge. And the same thing is if you're mugged in the street, the police don't want to know, because you're a section 42. So the three methods of destruction are bankruptcy, sectioned under the Mental Health Act, and section 42, vexatious litigant. It is absolutely unbelievable, but it is true, and I have all the documentation and victims that can establish this. Now, the area of concern for me at the moment, which can be readily checked, is the Avon and Somerset area, where if people Google Peter Baskerville, Westminster Hall, they will find a Hansard report from last November concerning a farmer called Williams in the Bala area of North Wales. Mr. Williams lost his farm after it being in the family for 100 years, due to financial manipulation and the use of the insolvency service to snatch his property and render the family homeless. Now, this was actually being watched by Avon and Somerset Police, who have over 40 complaints in from the farming community, whereby people have lost their farms through the current recession. The problem being that farmers are asset rich, they have property, but they have cash flow problems, and so they rely on the banks for an overdraft facility. The banks have been removing this overdraft facility and forcing the farmers into taking loans. These loans are loaded with derivatives. They have extremely high interest rates, but worst of all, they have a something like a £90,000 get-out clause. So if the farmer wants to surrender the loan and get out, he's still got to find £90,000 to cancel the contract. This was run by a company called Acorn Finance from Bridgewater, I believe, in Somerset. And they use these financial advisors to go around loaning money to people in the farming community with the intentions of drawing them into receivership within 18 months. And this duly happens and they lose all their property. I discovered this in 2001 and I notified a group known as the FSB, the Federation of Small Businesses. I wrote to three chairmen over a period of 7 years. I told them exactly what was going on. But in this case, the people were small businesses, family concerns in all kinds of, how can I say, outlets. It wasn't just agriculture. The most recent crowd to have been picked on were the small hoteliers in the tourist industry, particularly in Scotland, with RBS and Clydesdale Bank involved, who have had to set aside something in the region of £3 billion to pay compensation. The man who discovered this, if you like, for the public was Richard Tomlinson, who was asked by Vince Cable, who was then the government minister for industry, to investigate allegations and claims that I had made to Vince Cable in the House of Commons in 2008. And of course, Tomlinson was inundated with phone calls when people who had been bankrupted or placed into receivership found out. The amazing thing is, the insolvency service is fully aware of this. They actually used the courts to steal people's property. The trustee is involved. In my case, the trustee was a guy called Stephen Ferns in the Newcastle-under-Lyme office. He was actually told 3 months before a bankruptcy was due to take place exactly what was going to happen. The intended victim and myself attended the clinic of the local MP in Stafford, David Kidney. We told him that they were going to start a proceeding in Stafford County Court with the intentions of stealing this man's property. David Kidney said, this is a matter of the police. Go and see the police. We duly went to Stone Police Station and saw an Inspector Hallam. We explained to him what was going to happen, how he would be presented with a false debt, drawn into the procedure and bankrupt. Inspector Hallam told us, you bring me the crime in Staffordshire and I will deal with it. Well, he didn't. It duly went to court. The man, well, we prevented the bankruptcy. We caused so much trouble that in the end, they annulled the bankruptcy. But it had cost the gentleman concerned over £10,000 in costs and so forth. And lo and behold, halfway through the proceedings, another firm of solicitors came asking for £50,000 on behalf of the HM Revenue and Customs. This was supposedly for landfill tax. This ended up in court. It went through the process of the statutory demand and then a bankruptcy hearing, which suddenly came to an end. It went to the Royal Courts of Justice and the other side didn't turn up. In other words, the Inland Revenue and Customs gave up on the case and walked away. But the amount of harm and distress they caused to that man and his family, well, it broke the family up. They divorced, which is, how can I say, a normal thing with this type of action, is that the stress imposed on the family is staggering, and nobody wants to believe you. They cannot believe that the county courts, the solicitors, the judges, the personnel in the court manager, the police are all involved and nothing is done. And you had a case down in the Gloucester area many years ago, the mad samurai swordsman who chopped an MP's agent up in Cheltenham. The gentleman's name was Robert Ashman. I was actually down in Cheltenham when he first went into the magistrate's court, because I knew what was happening. Robert Ashman had been set up with a duff loan from the National Westminster Bank. He ended up losing his home, his business, and what was his pension. He had a wonderful payoff from the local, from Gloucestershire County Council, whom he had worked for. And this was in the days when they were advising teachers or nurses, firemen, to take out a private pension. In other words, opt out of the government scheme, cash in your pension and join a private one, or take your pension and early redundancy and start a business. This is exactly what Robert Ashman did, and within 12 months it had all gone belly up. He had wrote over 40 letters to his MP and been fobbed off with nothing but lies and deceit. They, how can I put it? The members of Parliament are fully aware of what is going on, as is my own MP, Edward Timpson, the Children's Minister. And because of what I know and the people I've met, we know that there is child trafficking going on. Children are kidnapped. They are taken in through the adoption process and they get taken into care and they can disappear. And I can guarantee you, I can prove a child out of Stoke-on-Trent, Corey Raymond Bradley, was kidnapped and shipped back to Australia. But fortunately, we had enough people drawing attention to it. They left the boy alone and he has now grown up. I think he's in the region of 13 years of age. But at the time he was snatched, he was 18 months old. And they even flew his father from Australia, from prison in Australia, who had an apprehended violence order not to approach mother or child. And they actually handed over the baby to this father on a plane at Heathrow and flew them both back to Australia. Now, the parents of this father were what I call good old-fashioned people. They knew their son was a wrong'un. He was a drug dealer. He was violent and actually in prison. He mistreated the girl who had bore the child. They weren't married. But they took the baby under their wing and have raised it as their own, and everything is fine. But that child would have disappeared into the Australian social services system, where he would have been sold. Now, all this might sound absolutely stupid to you, but you can Google, just Google it, and that is the Royal Commission Inquiry, NSW, Police Paedophiles. And it will come up on your screen, and it is over 9 volumes long, and it's a complete, if you like, inquiry of all that was wrong in Australia from 1986 through till 1996. The same thing has been going on in this country and is now opening up with the Rotherham inquiry. And they have had to bring a judge from New Zealand to look into it because ours are totally untrustworthy. Our system and establishment is completely rotten. And they are jockeying for position to keep their names out of it. It's a similar thing to the Jimmy Savile affair, that the only people who have been punished are from the entertainment section. Stuart Hall, Rolf Harris, Gary Glitter, etc. They have been pursued for paedophilia and so forth, but nobody else and from no other profession, where, of course, it is rife. And, if we ever get the truth in this country, I don't know. But that is part of the extent of my knowledge. And of what I am telling you, I can substantiate every word of it. I am not spreading hearsay and rumour. I have had over 25 years of abuse from the authorities, and quite honestly, it is unbelievable. You cannot trust anything. There might be a decent civil servant in the court or in a town hall office, but the moment they try and help you in any way, suddenly down comes the curtains, and you're cast out like a pariah, as though you're the criminal. They criminalise people like myself and our families, where the real culprits are those in authority, from local councillors. Complete and utter waste of time. I wrote to 51 councillors at Crewe and Nantwich Borough. Only one man, a Mr. Clive Roberts, and I'll say his name because he's worth looking up to. Clive Rotherham, by the way, his name was. Clive Rotherham, councillor for Haslington. He turned out to be genuine, and it turns out in life that Clive Rotherham was also ex-SAS 1956 Malaya. In other words, he's a man who's been around the world and he's seen it, and he couldn't believe what I was telling him, but he gave me what support he could. The other 50 councillors stabbed him in the back and didn't want to know. And as I say, I can provide you with a copy of the letter I sent to every one of them. And I can provide you with an email sent out by Rydell Graham, who is a leader of the legal department at Crewe and Nantwich, telling them that they should all ignore this letter, that the things were being investigated by the police and the council's legal department, and they would be resolved. Well, they resolved it by fitting me up in the Northwich Magistrates Court and sticking me in prison for 2 months on perjured testimony. And at a later date, I did a citizen's arrest on a particular individual, and I was charged with assault, and later a restraining order when I arrested her again. And this ended up in Chester Crown Court, where I had 15 witness summonses issued, and every one of those witnesses had their witness summons set aside so they couldn't appear, because had they appeared, it would have unglued the whole blasted mess.
That was Peter Oakes there, a victim of the Royal Bank of Scotland, and very little material about him on the internet, but he's been a victim for many, many years, and let's wish, hope, anyway, that he gets some of his property back.